Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
First thing I want to bring up is our power verse for this morning. And it is Psalms 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in His ways. How many? Everybody. If we walk in His ways, you know, we're all accountable for the truth that we know. That's it. You're not accountable for the truth you don't know yet. But we're blessed. We're all blessed in our ways when we walk with Him. Amen? We are. And my message this morning is, should I move this back a little bit? Getting a little feedback still. Righteousness exalts a nation. And again, I want to reiterate on the importance of being a statesman. Be someone that cares about tomorrow and the next day. We have to. This is our house. This is our city. This is our state. If we're going to make a difference, we need to be proactive in all that we do. So with, like I said, with the elections coming up, I think it's just vitally important that we get out there and we be a voice for conservative values. We be a voice for what God's Word says. Vote according to what God has spoken to you through His Word. And it will never go wrong. So if you would, turn with me to Proverbs 14:34. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And the way Proverbs is written, you can say it like this. Righteousness exalts a nation in the same way that sin is a reproach to any people. It's critical that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm going to go through some scriptures kind of quickly here, but I want you, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 16-18. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man, I'm in the wrong scripture. Hold on. Chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have come new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God, who was in Christ, reconciling Himself to the world, to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. And it's important that we go out into life and declare that righteousness in everything that we do. If righteousness exalts a nation, what divides it? anything, sin, it doesn't matter. I mean, anything that's not in line, as far as from a Christian point of view, anything that doesn't come in line with God's word is going to divide. It's going to separate. I mean, there's so many little nitpicking issues that are out there that are causing division. And it's hard to watch the news anymore. I mean, you want to stay up on current affairs and all that, but you hear so much nonsense. Like, I believe I'm a woman, so I'm going to use the woman's bathroom. And people are doing that. Why? Sin? I mean, that was the first thing that came out. What separates a nation? What divides a nation? A lack of understanding of what God's word has to say. There has to be a solid foundation, a sure foundation in any nation, home, or church for it to be exalted the way God wants it to be. You know, Pastor Henry talks a lot, right, especially right now, it's something the Lord's showing him about flow, about how the Spirit of God flows in a certain situation in our lives, in our church, in our city, in our town. You know, for the Holy Spirit to flow the way he wants to in our life, there has to be a direction for that to happen. There has to be a foundation designed for that flow to happen. I know a lot of folks in this last big rains we had a few months ago, even Pastor Henry's yard got tore up. I mean, it looked like a little Grand Canyon out in his backyard. And what he did to ensure that when the flood came, he built it up. He shored it up. He made it to where the water would have somewhere to go. And in our life, that's what we need to do too, as we are developing a solid foundation in our life. In order for the Holy Spirit to flow through us like he wants to, we need to have a solid foundation. We need to understand who we are in Christ. We need to understand what the Word of God says about any given situation. And if you do, you'll be a lot more confident when you go towards that. Now, I want to read that righteousness does. Let's see if I can find it. Did I give you guys a speech for President Lincoln? Can you put that up, please? This is a speech, or a part of a speech, that President Lincoln talked about. And it's talking about a house dividing itself cannot stand. It says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently, half slave or half free. I do not expect the union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall. But I do expect that it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other. You know, if as the righteousness of God in Christ, if we don't go out there and do our part, it's going to go in the other direction. We have the God-given ability. It's a privilege to vote. And I want to emphasize that. Not every nation has the ability to go out and be a voice. So once again, I encourage you this Tuesday, if you haven't voted already, go and vote. Encourage your family, your loved ones, to go out and be a statesman. Go out and make a difference for tomorrow. You know, we're doing what we can today, and the Holy Spirit's working in us and through us. But we have the opportunity here to make a difference for years to come. I mean, just think about one Supreme Court justice, the difference he made. What's going to happen when there's two? That's got a conservative belief and a constitutional belief of right and wrong. You know how many years that's going to be settled and anchored for us as a nation? Just one more. What if there's three? You and I are the ones that do that. we have that God-given ability and the right to make a difference, to get out there and do that. Now, let's see, Matthew 12, 25. I want to go next. Now, it says that Jesus knew their thoughts. He's talking about the scribes and Pharisees that are always trying to get in the way. How many knows that religion always looks at faith in jealousy, in envy? It does. There's religious leaders everywhere, in our schools, at the supermarket. I mean, there's scribes and Pharisees everywhere. And when they see somebody walking by faith, when they see somebody doing something empowered by the Holy Spirit, it makes them envious. It makes them jealous. They don't like it. They didn't like it when Jesus was walking the earth. They don't like it while we're here. Bless you. So, get back to where I was. Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand." You know, God doesn't divide. People do. Now I'm going to jump to another scripture here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. People divide, God restores. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You know, I was thinking about that Shore Foundation, and I know when I was a young guy, and I'm sure a lot of you can attest to this. I mean, we want stability in our home, don't we? We want our kids to do what's right. We want a solid foundation in our home so that things go well with you. And I know when I was a young guy, I didn't have really any family around, but I hung out with a lot of other kids with other families, and I saw this happen all the time. And I'm sure a lot of you remember this too. Let's say Aunt Betty, you know, she's watching you. And she goes, "You know, I want you to toe the line. I want you to do what's right. If you don't, when your dad gets home, you're going to get it." Okay. Well, that didn't work. So all of a sudden, Aunt Betty, you know, grabs you and goes, she goes, "I thought I told you not to do that anymore. And if you keep doing it, I'm going to tell your father about it. When he gets home, you're really going to get it." Okay. Well, that's not the kind of foundation we're trying to lay it on that principle. But, you know, we have to have a solid foundation in our life. And 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually." This nation made a huge turnaround. You know, this last election wasn't just by chance. The church, you know, God doesn't bless a nation because of politics. He doesn't bless a nation for any other reason but because of the seed of the church that's in that nation. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the seed is in itself. The core of this nation is us. It's the body of Christ. There was a huge move of the Spirit convicting hearts and lives of born-again believers in this nation. They got on their knees before God and said, "I'm sorry. Man, we got astray. Forgive us." And God did. He said, he promised he would heal your land. He would heal your home. And we saw that happen in this last election. There was a mighty move of God that took place. That move is still going. What God started, he's not stopping. There's a plan and a purpose in what God's doing here. And we have the opportunity to be a part of that. Amen? We do. Now, this is something I was going to add it later, but Rebecca kind of went this direction in something she was prophesying this morning, and I want to read it to you. Something I had written down here. You know, Josephus, he was a writer of history. He tells us that the stones for the temple were 40 feet by 20 feet, weighing several tons. They fit so perfectly together, a knife blade couldn't fit through them. And a sound was never heard while they were being carved out. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:25, we are all living stones, and we will all fit perfect in heaven. So what is the world? It's a rock quarry. Do you ever feel like you're being hammered? Do you? You ever feel like you're being abused in some way? I mean, just, you know, attacked. Do you ever feel like you're hammered? Do you ever feel like you're worn down? Do you ever feel like you're being chipped away at? I mean, we all have weeks where we wonder, man, where is all this stuff coming from? I mean, it just, why? What's the why of it? The Lord is smoothing us and preparing us so when we get to heaven, the sound of a hammer will not be heard because God is chipping away at us right now. God is shaping, and you know, Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That word delight means to stay soft and pliable, usable like clay. There's things in our life that need to go. You know, God is constantly chipping. It's like, you know, Abe says, I'm talking about technology here. You know, I could still use a flip phone and be happy, you know. And Abe will go, yeah, ding, 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 you know, ding, like a caveman kind of thing. Technology, you got to advance, you know. So understand that whatever you're going through, all things work together for the good. For those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen. When you feel like you're being chipped on, hammered on, pounded on, and man, you're inside, you're just remember, we're in a rock quarry right now. God is shaping us into his image. So when we get to heaven, whatever the plan and purpose is for our life, when we get there, we're going to fit. Just like those massive stones fit so tight, you couldn't get a blade between them. God's doing that with us. You're in God's rock quarry right now. So count it all joy. If someone's chipping away at you, someone's irritating you, understand that there's a reason. God's wanting to get the best out of you and me. God's wanting us to become more like him. He wants us to handle the situations in life. And everybody said, amen. Thank you for that chisel. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none of his brothers, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. That's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit, guys. It doesn't matter who you are. He's still going to do the same thing in all of us. He's going to develop us. He's going to shape us. He's going to place us in positions of doing things. I mean, what are you in life? I mean, are you a plumber? Are you an electrician? Are you a logger? I mean, just thinking of that brings back good memories. I love the smell of wood. What is it that God's called you to do? Yeah. What is it that God's called you to do? He will put the laws, his desires in your heart that you will know them. And in Jeremiah 31, I told you we're going to bounce around a little bit here. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day, that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, that after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord." Sound familiar? "Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquities." You know, I was saying before that you're held accountable for what you know. That's it. You know, you grow as you go. I know more than I did yesterday, I hope, because I'm growing. You are too. And there's a plan and a purpose that God has for you that you may not know yet. You may not be aware of it, but I want to encourage you in this one thing. Like I said earlier, we're all in a different place in our walk with God. All of us. Some know a lot. Some know very little. Some are right in the middle. So when you're ministering to people, keep that in mind and understand to take the truth that you know and present it to people around you in a way they can receive it. The word of God is to be brought in love wherever we go. You can get so full of knowledge, you just get bloated up. Knowledge, you know, the correct application is knowledge in, wisdom out. You need to understand how to apply the knowledge you've been given. And sometimes we just feast. Man, there was a time where I just was taken in the word, taken in the word, taken in the word, taken in the word. But I wasn't giving it back out. And if you don't evangelize, you're going to fossilize.
Right.
You're going to get stiff. You're going to get full. You're going to get bloated. And I use the analogy all the time. You can get spiritually constipated. You can. If you're not getting it out, you're getting all filled up. And if you do, you might end up looking like this. Abe's got something for you. You know, lethargic, tired, wiped out. You know, is that it?
That's good.
You know, don't get spiritually constipated, man. You look like that little guy. Like, oh, he just can't take it anymore, you know? Let God's word flow through you, like Pastor Henry is saying. Let it flow through you that you can impact the world around you. But like a dam, you have to control that water coming out. You need to know when to say it, when to do it. It's so easy, man. And some people do this out of true zeal. They'll just hammer you with the word of God. It'll come out faster than you can. It might be all true, but it's the presentation of it. Pray for wisdom every day as you're out there in the world around you, because everybody needs to hear something different. one more scripture here. Let's go to Isaiah 33. Verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time. Man, there's a place for everything. I'm a student of nutrition. So anytime I come across someone that's not feeling well, I mean, I'm going to let them know what I know. It might help them. You know, you've got wisdom. The correct application, again, knowledge in, wisdom out. Not everybody is going to need to hear the same thing. So as you're ministering to people, just keep that in mind. And one thing to please remember, do what you know, and you'll know what to do. It's that simple. I mean, when you get up in front of people, or when you're in the classroom, or when you're in the store, do what you know. And when you do, you'll know what to do. If you would have never went out to do what you felt like you were supposed to do, you probably wouldn't know what to do. You just won't. So the flow of the Spirit is, if you'll hearken unto me, and if you'll go tell that lady at the end of the aisle there that God does love her like I asked you to, I will flow into that person's life. I will be everything you thought that I could be in your life. So do what you know. And if you do, you'll know what to do. There's sometimes pastors, whoever, get up here, teachers, and they'll go, man, I don't know. They're not sure. But as soon as they open this up or as soon as they read something, it's like, yeah, okay. I mean, there's times you've heard Pastor Henry. Where is he? He's well, okay, where are they? You know, he goes, man, it was 2 a.m. I just wasn't getting anything. It's like that sometimes. You get here and you go, I don't know. You know, you were studying, you were reading, you were thinking, but it's not till you get up here and you say something, all of a sudden, click, you know what to do. So I encourage you all to do that. I thought there was one other thing here I was going to read, but there is one more thing. I should have read this earlier, but the remembrance of what Rebecca was saying kind of drew me to that. And this is in regards to what I was talking about, knowledge, okay? And our desire to educate people. Our brothers and sisters in the first century church were the most radical Christians of all history. They sold all their possessions. They spread throughout the world. They lived for the kingdom. But you know what? They didn't get together like this and study Hebrews, because Hebrews wasn't written yet. They didn't study theological implications of Romans, because Romans wasn't written yet. They didn't scrutinize the teachings of Jesus as recorded in John's gospel, because John's gospel hadn't been written yet. They didn't have the written New Testament. But they did understand the result of the new covenant. They obeyed what the Lord was writing on their hearts, and they turned the world upside down. That's in Acts 17. Then, when the New Testament was written and began to circulate through the church, it was confirmation of what they were already doing, because it was the same Lord who was writing his will upon their hearts. The New Testament was never intended to be an intellectual, theological trip for people who like to fill notebooks, answer questions, or work on workbooks. That was never the intent of the New Testament writers. What was the intent? To provide a way believers could be confirmed, corrected, and what they are already living out as a result of obeying the small, still voice of the Spirit. The person who's really used by the Lord is one who simply says, "You're going to tell me moment by moment what I should do. And Lord, I will do just what you say, whatever it is." A lot of people are making the New Testament writings the new law. Like Pharisees searching for jots and tittles and interesting insights, they fail to see that the word was written to nudge them along in their walk and to confirm the voice of the Lord in their heart. So I say that just to bring to our remembrance, you can know, you can be a rocket scientist, you can have all the knowledge that the world's ever seen, but if you don't present it to people in a way that they can receive, what have you accomplished? Walk in love, do what you know, and you'll know what to do. Amen. God is good.